And now a reading from James 5, verse 13 to 20. James 5, 13 to 20. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God today for God's word and the way that we get to just spend some time in God's presence. Good morning, church family, friends, neighbors. How are you this week? That's good to hear. That's good to hear. I'm glad you all are doing well. It's encouraging to be amongst the body of believers. It is a blessing to be amongst all those, you all, my brothers and sisters in faith. As we gather together for worship, in the name of Christ, and as we hear from God what it is that God wants to say, to each and every one of us today. If you are here for the first time, a special welcome to you. We are in a brand new message series that we're actually ending today. So I'm so sorry, but you have the opportunity to go back and watch some of those sermons online. It's been an incredible time talking about how we can become more. My prayer for each of you today, also a special prayer, just a personal prayer, is that God gives you a glimpse of his care. That God gives you a glimpse of his care and his hand in and on and even around each of your lives this day. And that is evident to you this week. Is that a good prayer to pray for you? Yeah. Well, good, because I want that for you. As I've said, we are in our last installment of our Become More series, where we get the opportunity to have the invitation extended to us to enter into a new type of or a different type of spiritual life. This spiritual life that we are encouraged to enter into is one where we agree for Christ to examine our spiritual lives, our life of faith, to show us the areas where we perhaps sometimes may come short, and then allow for Christ to do that holy work of refining us, to restoring us, and rejuvenating us. This invitation is for each of us to become more mature in our faith and for us to become more mature in the qualities and the virtues that helps us to live into and to align ourselves to the vision that God has for each and every one of us, both individually, but then also as the body of Christ. I pray that as you have listened to this sermon series, perhaps, and as you will go and listen to the sermon series, that as a result of this series, that you find yourself going deeper with Christ and you find yourself becoming more mature in how you are urged to become more of the things that God is calling for us to do. But then also I want to take a moment just to say that there is much grace for you as you do become more. We realize that you will not have the opportunity to just become more patient or loving overnight, and that that journey is indeed a journey, and it's a process, and it takes grace, God's grace, for you to grow more into that which God is calling you to be. So at ease, friends, and have much grace with yourself, and know that maturity and growth is happening and that it's coming in your life. Amen. I also want to give a brief disclosure that next week we will begin a brand new message series that's entitled Greater. And it's a study of the book of Hebrews. And I guarantee if you have not read the book of Hebrews yet, you're going to love it. You're going to be tremendously blessed. We are so excited to present that sermon series to you. But as we conclude today, as we conclude this message series on becoming more, I want to share with you and have a heart-to-heart again about how we're called to have the invitation extended to us to become more present. You've probably heard it so many times today, and you'll hear more. The invitation is for us to uncover and discover the true essence of what it means to be present and to accept that invitation to become more present with God, but then also others. Every day, each and every day, God is present with us. God desires to be present with us and is. God does not withdraw God's involvement from our lives, but instead God is around us and within us and is engaged with every single aspect of our lives. Do you believe that? Amen. You know, we appreciate the idea of God's presence, and we also recognize that it's a crucial and a critical part of our lives and how we live out our life of faith. But it's not just about knowing God deeply that is a factor in our life of faith. It's also about the benefits that we get to experience also as we spend time fellowshipping and abiding with God. Yes, God and God's self is wonderful and great, but then also it comes with some benefits. For example, God's presence brings us perfect peace. You probably have heard that in scripture before. A peace that surpasses all understanding. That God's presence also brings us comfort during difficult times. God's presence also brings for us spiritual strength and divine rest. And if you need it, God's presence can bring us and allow for us to experience a deep sense of stillness. My favorite part and benefit of how we experience God, when we experience God, is best represented in the psalm that David actually writes in Psalm 139. And I want to read the verse for you. It says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is the fullness of joy. And at your right hand, all pleasures are there forevermore." I got to tell you, I love this particular verse because it highlights for us what it's like to experience the transformative nature of God's presence. That's a benefit, and we enjoy it. It also illuminates our path wherever we go in faith, and it also fills us with complete joy, not joy halfway or knee deep, but it fills us with complete joy, and that's a wonderful benefit. But then also God's presence also does something incredible for us. It does many things, countless things that we can't count and name. And not only does it do something for us, but it also does something to us. In relation to our series, Becoming More, and the invitation for us to become more present, as beautiful as we know the presence of God is in our lives, the call for us is to become more present with God, but then to also become more present with others. And the question I have, and I've wrestled with in preparing the message, is while the beauty and the presence of God is so fantastic and phenomenal and enduring, if we can experience those benefits and be blessed by God, what benefits can come when we are present with others? What is the value, the importance, or even the significance of having deep presence with others in our lives as with God? So I invite you to get curious with me today and ponder in your heart, what significance does our presence hold in our faith journey with God and in relationship with others? Let us pray. God, we thank you for today, and we thank you for this message that through your Holy Spirit you penned to James to give to the church, to give to disciples, to give us an idea of the power and purpose of your presence today. God, we are grateful for what you bring to teach us, God, and we ask that you turn our thoughts and our minds away from the things that might distract us from hearing from you. And that you fill our heart and that you or empty us from the things that will prevent us from hearing from you today. Do your work in our hearts and continually in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, there's something quite mysterious about God that I actually find fascinating. And I know I always say that, but God is quite fascinating, isn't he? There's something mysterious about how God works sometimes. And I find that to be particular for this particular week. You see, whenever we plan sermon series, and more particularly the Become More sermon series, we actually take some time, the pastoral team and I, some time to advance and to develop sermon series that we would like to preach or hope to preach for the entire year. So all of our sermons are planned a year out. But then as we get closer, we begin to add scriptures and add more meat to our sermon series and our preaching and the messages that we'll preach. And then as weeks approach, we'll then determine of the pastoral team who will preach those particular scripture verses and who will preach and on any one Sunday. I gotta tell you and be honest why I am so glad to be here with you this morning. This was not my Sunday to preach, but I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be here with each of you all, but again, I think that God works in mysterious and quite unexplainable ways, especially as it relates to why I am preaching today on a Sunday where I was not supposed to preach a message on what it means to experience God's presence, but then also a call for us to become more present with others. I want to let you in on what's been happening in the life of my family. For the latter parts of July and for the entire month of August, my family has experienced a lot of changes and challenges. My wife had been getting sick off and on, and just a few weeks ago, my wife experienced a series of strokes that suddenly placed her in the hospital and then eventually landed her in rehab where she is getting better. Now, I want to put you at ease. My wife, Adrika, is doing quite well. You would be very proud of her at the progress that she's making and in how she's growing and as her body is getting strengthened. She's actually watching today. Will y'all show her some love? As these series of events unfolded around us, one thing that became quite obvious to us more than anything was, number one, God's loving care and tender mercies towards us. Not only Adrika and I, but our kids, Aubrey and Davin as well. The other thing that became quite obvious to us is that while God was present, giving us love and allowing us to experience his loving care, tender care, the other thing I noticed was the tender, loving care of the community known as Ebenezer Church and friends and families that live in and out of Stafford County and Prince William County, who came alongside us where we saw million-dollar chicken meals fall right on our doorstep, pasta salad recipes show up somehow, gift cards to our favorite restaurants started popping up in our mailbox. Our loved ones and family drove in from varying states to be here for both my wife as well as myself and children. And then local friends and family entertained our kids. And then a lot of you all and a lot of our friends sent text messages containing thoughts and prayers about how much you all are praying for me and my family through this difficult time. It was like a rush of love, and I gotta tell you, the level of response and the love that I saw in action was something that was very meaningful to me and my family, and for that we're so grateful. But it breeds us to talk about and to highlight today how God calls for us to experience and to display this level of love and affection to all those who we come in contact with and who God allows us to cross paths with. Because for me, this incredible dynamic of presence and gift of presence served for me an opportunity to know that God is, number one, present with us always, but then also that God will send people along to let us know that they love us. Simply put, I think that the call for us today when we're talking about being more present, it arises out of a need. A need in our community, but then also a need in our life of faith to become more present, to show up, but then also to love well. That's what we experience. And as I've been toying with this scripture and going through the book of James, I've asked myself tons of questions. And the question that I land at when it comes to considering James's words in this particular scripture and what I've experienced for the last month and a half is, what more could there be to the gift of presence? Is there more that God wants for us to know when it comes to how we're called to be present with God and experience God's presence? but then also show up and be present for others. I think that James comes to teach us a lot. And I want to share three of those things with you. That yes, showing up means that we give gift cards and we show love and we visit the hospital and rehab center. And that we show up and support families and people in their lives however they need. But then James helps us to uncover three more important elements about what Christian presence is about. I'm going to give these to you quickly because I won't be here before you long. The first thing that James helps us to understand about the dynamic of Christian presence is that it involves prayerful involvement. As he talks about and asks the question of, is any among you suffering? He invites them to pray, the community to pray. He says also, if any of you all are cheerful and singing songs, you should still pray. If any of you all are sick, then you should still pray. The call to the community is that wherever you find yourself in life, whether that is joy or sorrow, you come together, you show up, and you pray. That prayer is not just a thing where we just stand by, but it's an active thing. It's something that we show up and do, but it's also something we do in our private lives as well. That we experience God's love there, but then we also come alongside others and we allow them to experience God's ways that they never have or that they deeply need. That there are different types of sicknesses that people may be experiencing, whether that's emotional or spiritual or even physical. And that we're called to come and tend to the needs of others. That we're called to be present and pray so that the Lord may raise that person or those people up. The second thing that James comes to teach us about Christian presence is not only that it is prayerful involvement, but that it's also cleansing confession. That as we therefore confess our sins to one another and pray for one another again, it says that they will be healed. That by way of our confession, this deep level of intimacy is a moment that breathes a depth of holiness that we can't describe. That when we share these intimate parts of our lives and of ourselves, that it helps us to enter into one of the most holiest moments where God is present. That it includes prayerful involvement and cleansing confession that helps us to be healed in our heart, in our soul, and in our spirit. But then there's also this last thing, graceful restoration. It's the dynamic where Paul urges us to remember that though there will be people who will fall away from truth, fall away from faith, who will be discouraged, who will be led astray, who will be broken, who will need for someone to come running after them, helping them to find their way back to a God who loves them deeply. And in the midst of this, if you spend some time with it too, you will see as you read that this is an urgent call for us, as it was an urgent call to the early disciples, that in your life of faith, as disciples, as you seek to develop the characteristic of becoming more present, that you always have in mind that it involves prayerful involvement, always praying, never stopping, good or bad, cleansing confession so that we may be healed, but then also an element of graceful restoration by which we are restored to one another and we are restored to God in faith. Amen. So what's the point? Is that there is power and purpose in presence. And God wants for not only us as the body of Christ to experience it, but for those that don't know Jesus Christ. And my prayer is for you to do that in Jesus' name.